Exactly one chapter before that passage that we just heard read from Luke's gospel, Jesus pulls together his 12 disciples and tells them that it's time for them to go out and proclaim the kingdom of God. He sends the 12 out into the towns and villages all around, instructing them to pack nothing for their journey, just like in that passage you just heard. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, not even an extra tunic. He charges them to go out into the world in a spirit of utter vulnerability, trusting that God is with them and will be with them wherever they go. That sending has always seemed a little bit reckless to me, because really these disciples cannot have been with Jesus for all that long at this point. It was probably just a matter of months ago that they were going about their business, fishing or collecting taxes or tending little gardens at home. And here they are, being sent out into the great wide world to announce the very presence and action of God, and to enact that presence in their humble and vulnerable way of life. They are not just observers anymore. They are quickly being given a significant role to play. It had to be quite a wild ride for these 12. Jesus sending out the 12 after only a few months or a year or so of training has always seemed a little crazy to me. But then along comes our reading today, where Jesus sends out 70 more. 70. Now, talk about reckless. I mean, who are these people? Where did they come from? How long have they known Jesus? What are their qualifications? We know absolutely nothing. Luke is totally silent on these questions. So we are kind of invited to wonder, I think. And I imagine a woman there whose daughter had been healed by Jesus. She was so grateful for his attention and care that she started tagging along with this growing band. I imagine a man there who had gone to worship in his local synagogue one ordinary Sabbath day when Jesus cast a demon out from someone right in front of the crowd. He could not get that image and the sense that this person up front had such great authority out of his mind. So he decided to see what else this guy might be up to. I imagine a group of friends who had heard Jesus teaching by the sea one day, speaking about the strange and upside-down blessings of God. They felt something burning within them while they listened to him speak, a wish to know more. So they stuck around, alert and listening. I imagine sort of a ragtag band of people who've been around for a couple of weeks or, I don't know, maybe a couple of days. People who were curious or moved or hopeful with no more qualification than their wish to be near Jesus. And I picture Jesus looking each one of them in the eye and saying, "Hey, you. Yeah, you. Come on over here. I've got a job for you." It's a little like what happens when you show up at the Taizé community for a stay. Some of you have been there before, so you know what I'm talking about. Staying in Taizé is not like going to a hotel where you are simply a guest to be served by the staff. Whether you're there for a week or a year, sometime during probably your first day in this ecumenical Christian community, you'll find yourself faced by a friendly volunteer coordinator who says something like, "Hi, what's your name? Nice to meet you. Now here's a mop. Please go get to work." You may have showed up for rest and reflection, but from the very beginning, each group, each person, is given a task. There's a clear understanding at Taizé that community life is meant to involve everyone, and that pitching in is part of how we begin to belong. I hear something a little bit like that in this crazy story from Luke's gospel. "Who, me?" I imagine the 70 saying. I just got here. I don't know enough. I'm not prepared enough. I'm not trained for this kind of thing." "Yes, you," Jesus responds. "I've got a job for you, because there is work to be done, and you have gifts that are meant to be shared." It's kind of an unsettling story, I think, but the more I sit with it, the more I like it as an entry point into our reflection on stewardship this season. In the coming weeks, we are going to be asked to consider prayerfully how we will support this congregation's ministry in the year to come, with our time, with our talents, with our money. And I think this story says clearly that following Jesus is active business. No matter who you are, no matter how long we have been around the church, each one of us is called to follow, and each one of us has gifts to share. Paul would agree. In that familiar passage from the first letter to the Corinthians, he writes to this particular church about spiritual gifts. He lists all sorts of wonderful things: wisdom and knowledge and faith, gifts of healing, the working of miracles, prophecy, the discernment of spirits, various tongues, the interpretation of tongues. You get the sense that Paul was just kind of getting warmed up here, just giving a sampling of all the beautiful ways the members of this particular community are gifted. And you can wonder about those individual gifts and what they look like in practice. But what particularly grabs my attention this morning is that Paul insists that each person is gifted. There are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, he says. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. You hear that? Activated in everyone, given to each. No one is without something precious to offer for the good of the community. This is radical stuff, and we can't miss that. The Corinthian community was divided over all sorts of issues, including spiritual gifts. Some gifts, particularly the more outwardly visible and flashy ones, were seen as more valuable, while others, particularly those less easily noticed, were seen as far less important. Paul will have none of it. Every gift is needed, he says. Every gift is equally precious, because every single one is a manifestation of the one Spirit, and it is through all of them together, offered in love, that the community is sustained. Sometimes we tend to reduce stewardship to a kind of arm twisting. Come on, everyone, please do your part so we can keep this ship afloat. But that is not the spirit of this text at all. Here, gifts are not merely ours to offer grudgingly when we are begged. They are the Spirit's presence in us, always truly meant for the common good, always truly meant to be shared. In a short article some years ago that has kind of stuck with me, the Dalai Lama noted that we live in a deeply anxious time, with anger and discontent prevalent in so many places. That hasn't changed in the years since the article was written. People are worried about the future. Hope is often hard to come by. And part of the problem, he suggests, is something very simple. Many do not feel needed. We are meant to be of service to others, he says. We're meant to be offering something meaningful to the world and to those around us. It is simply part of how we are wired as humans. And in this swiftly changing, fast-moving, and often profoundly isolating rhythm of life today, many feel, in the Dalai Lama's words, that they are no longer useful, no longer needed, no longer one with their societies. This is not how it's supposed to be. People flourish when their gifts are recognized and when they have space to offer them for the common good. An old Buddha saying puts it this way: if one lights a fire for others, it will also brighten one's own way. So maybe when a visitor shows up here in our church for the first time, we should be taking a cue from Taizé and saying something like, "Hello, what's your name? Nice to meet you. Here's a coffee pot. Please start pouring." I'm kidding, but it's only sort of kidding, because we really are made to be of service to others. It's part of human life, and it's part of Christian faith. And there are abundant gifts in this community right here. Gifts of hospitality and welcome, gifts of planning and preparation, gifts of creativity and beauty, gifts of listening and care, gifts of language and wisdom, and advocacy and compassion and encouragement and faith and so much more. There are abundant gifts here in you and in those who are seated around you right now, and they are meant to be shared. That is the spirit I'd like to be bringing to our stewardship reflection these weeks. No matter who you are, no matter how long you've been here, Paul's words apply. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So how might you pay attention to the Spirit's work in you right now? How might you offer those gifts that are present in your own life? How might you encourage someone else in recognizing and offering the gifts present in hers? You might think you don't have much to give, or you might think you haven't been around long enough, or you might think you're too young or too old, but our faith could not be clearer. Every gift is needed. Every gift is precious, because every single one is a manifestation of the one Spirit, and it is through all of them together, offered in love, that our community is sustained. We have what we need, friends, for the ministry that God calls us to in this time. It's all here. Gifts abundant, meant to be shared. Thanks be to God. Amen.